Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you're having a great holiday week, but I also hope that you've been able to be with us. We've been listening to Derek Prince talk about 12 steps to a good year. He's been taking this from the Let Us statements of the book of Hebrews, and it's just been fascinating. It's helping me align for the new year and get my faith and my hopes and my prayers aligned for the new year. And he's diving into some of those, and this is typically Derek, diving into some of those statements in the scriptures that sometimes are hard to understand, like, let us fear. You don't usually hear sermons on, hey, let us fear. But he's making such great sense out of it as part of the price of entering God's rest. And by the way, he's emphasizing rest, something we want to be deliberate about in 2007. So this has been fascinating. It's wonderful. If you've missed any of it, log on to our website at derekprince.org. You'll find all of these shows. We're going to be in this series for another week and a half. You don't want to miss it. Let's listen now as Derek Prince talks to us about 12 steps to a good year.
The special purpose of this series of messages is to equip you with an attitude and an outlook that will enable you to appropriate the fullness of God's provision and God's blessing in the year that lies ahead. You see, so much depends on these two things, your attitude and your outlook, as you move on into all that God has planned for you in this new year. Today, I'm going to go on to the third step, the third let us in Hebrews. This too is found in the fourth chapter. Interestingly, the first four steps are all found in Hebrews chapter 4. This third step is in Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That's the third let us. Let us hold fast our confession. We need to understand what's meant by confession. That word is derived from a word in the original Greek of the New Testament, which means to say the same as. That's the basic meaning of confession. It's saying the same as. And in its scriptural context, it means that we say the same as God says, that we make the words of our mouth agree with God's word. There's a further implication to the word confession. It means that we say it out boldly, that we are not intimidated. The word confession has a considerable history in the history of the Christian church. There have been certain confessions, certain statements of faith that have been very significant. And many, many times it's taken boldness and courage on the part of those who made them to take that stand. But the Bible says, let us hold fast our confession. And then it points out particularly that it's our confession that relates us to Jesus as our high priest. I think many Christians don't have a very clear picture of Jesus as our high priest, but it's one of his most important ongoing ministries on our behalf. He's there as our representative in the presence of God the Father, standing good for us. And every time we make the right confession, we say the right positive thing with our mouths, Jesus has obligated himself to ensure that that confession is made good in our experience. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says just a little earlier on, in chapter 3, verse 1. He says this, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Notice those last words, the high priest of our confession. That means that our confession enlists Jesus as our high priest. But the opposite, unfortunately, is also true. If we make no confession, we have no high priest. Not that Jesus has ceased to be our high priest, but that we give him no opportunity to minister as our high priest. He is the high priest of our confession. If we say the right things in faith with our mouths according to Scripture, then Jesus has eternally obligated himself to see that we'll never be put to shame, that we'll always come into the experience of what we confess. But if we don't say the right thing, then, alas, we silence the lips of our high priest. He's got nothing to say on our behalf for us in heaven. He's also called our advocate. The word advocate is pretty similar to the modern word attorney. Jesus is the legal expert who's there to plead our case in heaven. He's never lost a case. But if we don't make a confession, he has no case to plead. So the case goes against us by default. So you see how important confession is. And therefore, it's so important that we give heed to this third "let us" of Hebrews, "let us hold fast our confession." This principle of right confession, saying the right thing with our mouth, has a central place in the gospel and in our experience of salvation. In fact, there is no salvation without right confession. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, verses in which he explains as clearly as anywhere in the New Testament what is required for salvation. He begins this way: "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." The basis of salvation is the word. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. It has to be appropriated by faith. And then this is the message: that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, there are two things we have to do, one with the heart, one with the mouth. We have to believe with the heart, but we have to confess or say it out with the mouth. And then Paul goes on in the next verse, "For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." So you see, no confession, no salvation. It's good to believe in your heart, but it's not sufficient. You've not only to believe in your heart, you've got to say it out boldly with your mouth, making the words of your mouth agree with the word of God. Our initial confession relates us to Jesus as high priest, but his ongoing ministry on our behalf as high priest depends on our ongoing confession. You see, the whole Bible shows that our words determine our destiny. Ultimately, we only have two alternatives in our relationship to Christ and to the Scripture: to confess or to deny. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 10:32-33. "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." That's his response as our high priest. If we confess him, he confesses us. But the alternative is given in the next verse: "But whosoever shall deny me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven." And between those two, ultimately, there's no third alternative. In spiritual things, in the long run, there's no neutrality. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." Either you're going to make the right confession to salvation, or you're going to make a wrong confession, and it will not produce salvation. So let's go back to that third "let us." Let us hold fast our confession. I want to say this to you: keep affirming your faith verbally. Use the positive to exclude the negative.
You know, I know there's been a great deal of extreme teaching about the whole idea of confession, but isn't it great to know that we make a confession to the high priest, that he is the high priest, Jesus is the high priest of our confession? Listen, you don't want to miss one little bit of this. It's going to be such a great foundation for the new year. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Derek Prince once said that it contains some of the most life-changing and practical messages God had ever given him. He made that remarkable statement about a special book he titled Transformed for Life. And here at the threshold of a new year, those truths are especially relevant. You see, far too many of God's people struggle to make vital changes in their lives. Resolutions are quickly broken. Resolve turns to weakness. A familiar cycle of defeat leads to discouragement and resignation. But as Derek points out in this important book, it doesn't have to be that way. In Transformed for Life, you'll discover that God is your Father, and His love for you is extravagant. You'll also find out how to develop a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you'll learn how to turn lingering disappointments into God appointments. Order your copy of Transformed for Life now for only $12.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can break free from the things that weigh you down and live the life God has planned for you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Again, hoping you're having a great holiday week. Listen, I am really finding my soul challenged regarding the new year, God's will for the new year, how I ought to orient myself to Jesus for the new year. Let's just cut right to the chase and listen as Derek teaches us about 12 steps to a good year.
Today we're going to move on to the fourth step. This also is found in that fourth chapter of Hebrews. It's in the last verse, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. So that's the fourth step. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. I believe that fourth step is directly related to the first three steps. I believe there's a significance in the sequence. I believe that in order to be able to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, we need to make sure that we've taken the first three steps. The first, let us fear that we've come with an attitude of reverence and an awareness of our need of God's grace. Then, secondly, let us be diligent. I believe this is our response to God's grace. That we are not slack, not lazy, not indifferent, not presumptuous. We see that God's grace is no excuse for our indifference or presumption, but rather that it provokes us to be diligent. And the third step, let us hold fast our confession. I believe we have to have the right confession. We have to say the right things with our mouths about Jesus and what He's done for us, if we're going to be able to approach that throne of grace with confidence. In regard to our approaching the throne of grace, we are told to come for two things, mercy and grace. Now, it's my conviction that if God invites us in His Word to come, and if we meet the conditions which I've briefly outlined, and God says that there's mercy and grace waiting for us, then I believe we can count on mercy and grace. I don't believe we ever need to be disappointed. I don't believe that God ever gives us an invitation that He doesn't stand behind. So many of the promises and the invitations in the Bible are conditional. God says, if you do this and this, I'll do that. And I believe God is saying to us here, if you'll approach my throne, having met the conditions, and you'll acknowledge your need of my mercy and my grace, then you can count on it. I will make my mercy and my grace available to you. We don't need to be in any doubt about that. That's why I believe the Scripture says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. If we come as God's children, we don't come as beggars. We're invited. God has no second-class children. He never holds us at a distance if we've met the conditions for approach. It's very important that we come with confidence. That's faith in action. It's faith that won't be denied. It's faith that takes God at His word and believes that God is as good as His word. It's faith in God's faithfulness. So that's how we are to approach the throne, with confidence. We're told to approach God's throne of grace to receive two things, mercy and grace. I believe we need to look at what's involved in each of these two things. I believe the order is significant. I believe we need, first of all, mercy and then grace. Mercy essentially relates to people who've done wrong, who cannot claim their rights, who are weak or unworthy. There's an attitude in the world today that makes everybody want to claim their rights. Everybody says, this is due to me and that is due to me and why didn't I get that and I ought to have this. And with that attitude prevailing, it's hard often for people to see that they need mercy. I thank God personally that since I came to know the Lord, nearly 40 years ago now, there's one thing I have never been in any doubt about, that I need God's mercy. I'm clear about that no matter what situation I'm in. I can't just trust in my rights. They're not sufficient. I need God's mercy. So important to see that. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who's in full-time Christian ministry now, but once upon a time he was a traveling salesman, and he had been driving rather recklessly, and he had received several tickets for exceeding the speed and so on, and he'd been summoned to the sheriff's office. And he went there with a terrible feeling that he was going to have his license suspended. And of course that would have been very serious for him because he would have had no means of carrying on with his profession as a salesman. So he prepared what he was going to say, and when he was summoned before the sheriff, he said this, "Sir, I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy." And the sheriff replied, "No one has ever said that to me before." And he was so taken aback that though he gave him a severe warning, he permitted him to retain his license.
You know, if there's any statement in Scripture that ought to live in our hearts, it's draw near with confidence to God. I mean, the fact that the veil has been torn, that the flesh of Jesus is the veil, and that we get access to the presence of God is such a marvelous invitation. I mean, it really is the invitation of the ages. There's so much more marvelous material like this to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
This new year brings new opportunities to make the next 12 months your best ever. If you maintain a positive, word-based focus. Now, Derek Prince Ministries wants to help you do just that by sending you a free proclamation card. This companion to the 12 Steps to a Good Year series is the perfect reminder of God's important and powerful place in your life, each and every day. Derek adapted this powerful New Year's proclamation from specific Bible promises, and we'd love to send you that very proclamation on a card you can carry in your Bible. We believe God will use it to stir your confidence and put the unfailing power of the Word to work in your circumstances. For your free copy, simply call us toll-free at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take that first step and call now. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, hoping you're having a great holiday weekend. And we are in the 12-step program of God. That's what we're doing. Derek Prince is teaching us about the Let Us statements of the book of Hebrews. And he's going to be talking to us about the grace of God. If there's anything I want my 2007 to be filled with, it's the grace and mercy of God. Let's listen.
Well, those words have always stuck with me. I think when we come to God, we'd better come with that attitude. I'm not asking for justice. I'm asking for mercy. And I believe when we come with that attitude, God will never withhold his mercy. The only problem, the only reason why people don't receive mercy is they don't see their need of it. The second thing we're told to come for is grace. What is grace? Grace is what God will freely do for us, beyond what we deserve. One essential thing about grace is it cannot be deserved. Secondly, the grace of God is supernatural. It goes beyond all the limits of our natural ability. It says we're to come in time of need. I think that's so important. Are you in a situation of need? Is your situation desperate? Well, don't let the devil fool you into thinking that it's too desperate and that it's too late to come and that there's nothing you can do about it, because God specifically invites you to come in time of need. So if, as you hear this message today, your situation is desperate, let me recommend this to you, that you come to God's throne with confidence. For these two things, first of all, mercy. Don't ask for your rights, because if you got your rights, you'd be shocked. What you really deserve, you don't want. Secondly, come for grace. Don't limit God to what he can do on your behalf. And don't be put off by the fact that your situation is desperate. That's just the time to come. Finally, remember you're coming to a throne. And on that throne is a king. And the king you're coming to is the king of the universe. All authority and power in heaven and in earth is in his hands.
Derek's just doing a great job getting us aligned in our faith and our prayers and our attitude for the new year. I'm looking forward to 2007 being an amazing year of destiny. And with me in the studio today is David Holland. He's not only one of the producers of the show and one of my friends, but he often brings us information from sort of outside the flow, testimonies and what have you. And that's pretty much what he's here to do today. Dave, great to have you with us.
Well, thanks, Stephen. It is my privilege to see a lot of the testimonies that come through. We've only been on the air now with this new program for 3 months, and yet we've seen many, many testimonies and heard from lots of people who are being blessed by the program, who are being touched. God is using the teaching of Derek to really bring transformation to their lives. And as I've reminded people earlier in the week, it is very much biblical and very appropriate if a ministry, if a teacher is blessing you, for you to share of your material resources to help keep bringing that ministry to you. But not only you, Derek's been pointing us outward all week long, not inward, outward, to help other people receive that ministry as well. And sharing of your financial resources is needed. It's biblically appropriate, and it's God-blessed.
Now, to help me understand, why is it better or why is it helpful to people to give as we approach the end of the year? I often hear people say that, but I got to tell you, frankly, I don't have an accounting or a business background. And so what is the deal about the end of the year that we hear so often about?
Well, because of the way the tax year is set up, most of us don't think about our taxes until April 15th or so. But yet, the end of the calendar year is the end of the tax year. And a lot of people really could use some additional tax deduction. It's an opportunity for people to render a little more to the kingdom of God and a little less to Caesar at the same time. But gifts must be postmarked or given before the end of the year for it to be counted for this year. So we want to encourage people, if you're thinking along those lines, right now is a great time to do it. And if you write and send in a gift, if it's postmarked by December 31st, that's great. You can give online, derekprince.org, or you can call and give a gift over the phone if you like. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, you can call 888-737-0771. And of course, all that information is available online at derekprince.org.
All right, I've still got some more questions, so you're going to have to come back tomorrow and the next day until I get them all answered, because I want to understand this, and I want our listeners to as well.
Let's do it.
Well, listen, there's so much more great stuff to come in the coming days. I want you to be sure and be with us as Derek continues to talk to us about 12 steps to a good year. But that is all the time we have for now. So for everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Transformed for Life for only $12.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And be sure to ask for your free proclamation card outlining Derek's 12 Steps to a Good Year featured during this week's series. It's our special gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. The call and the proclamation card are both free. 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can send your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.